Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Yudalad Amud Bet. We're continuing with the sugyo about how to explain our Mishnah. We had a machloket between Rav Chista and Rav Ashi as to how to explain the Mishnah. They both agree that there are three stages when it comes to our Mishnah. There's otiyom, which is immediately. And that everybody agrees about. Otiyom means that the eid is waiting right there and she's able to do a kinuach, a quick swipe. And that will incriminate them in terms of a boel nidat, and bring a chatat. That for sure we know that she was pirsan nidah while the bia was taking place. There's the next stage, which is acharzeh. This is where we have machloket Rav Chista and Rav Ashi about what describes afterwards. According to Rav Chista, the description of afterwards is the amount of time it takes her to take the eid from under the pillow and to do a bidika. Then we have a third stage, which is even after that, what she claims is that after you get off the bed and then do a check. So those are the three stages according to Rav Chista. In the first stage, you'll be chayav chatat, tumat shiva, for both the nidah and for the bo'el. You have the second stage, which is the safek, according to the Braita, you'll bring an asham taloi. According to our Mishnah, you'll be patur from korban, and you'll be tamei misafek. The last stage, tamei midarabanan, it's a chashash of me'et le'et, machloket Rabbi Kiva and the chachamim. What exactly the status of that tuma is? That's Rav Chista. Rav Ashi says that those latter two checks are the same stage. The check from taking the aid from under the pillow and checking, as well as getting off the bed and checking, both of those are the same stage, or stage two. After that is stage three. So now the Gemara is going to ask Meitave, third line from the bottom of Yudalat Amud Bet, Ezu Achar Zman, what is considered to be Achar Zman? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Lufnei Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, we saw was the author of the Braita yesterday. So he asked the Chachamim, Be'ushav Amalem, Shema, Rabbi Akiva, Atem Omrim. Maybe you hold like Rabbi Akiva, Shemetamad, Bola. It says, even in the final stage, you are Metameh, Bola, even when it's Tibrabon on Me'et Le'et. Amrul, Lo Shemanu. Said, we never heard. So Amalem, Kach Pershu Chachamim, Biavne. This is how the Chachamim and Yavne explained it. Lo shata kidei shetered min amita v'tadiach et paneh toch zman hu zeh. That if she did not wait or tarry, as long as it takes her to get off the bed and to check herself or clean herself up down below, that is considered to be toch zman. Utmei misafek upturi mikarvan. Utmei misafek, because we have a safek whether there was bo nida or not, whether pirsa nida took place while the bia was going on or afterwards. Turimi karban v'chayavim v'asham taloi. This is consistent with the Braita that we saw before. You have a safek chatat, and therefore you bring an asham taloi, according to the Braita, who says you don't need chat mitoch shtei chatichot. You don't need one out of two choices. Even in a single choice of isiretha, you bring an asham taloi. Sha'ata k'tei sh'tered min amita v'dadeach et penecha achar hazman ahu zeh. If she waits the amount of time that it takes to disembark, to get off the bed, and to clean herself, that is afterwards. Chayin, kesheshata me'ed le'et u'mepigida v'gida. And that's the equivalent of having a sighting where she doesn't know if it happened in the last 24 hours or from the last check. Then, bo'ala mitameh mishum magga. The bo'el of the quote-unquote nida here is tameh tumat magga, of coming to a contact with the nida. Ve'enu tameh mishum bo'el. But he doesn't have a din of a bo'el nida, which would be tumat shiva. So he has tumat erev, not tumat shiva. Kivomer af mitameh mishum bo'el. Kiva says, is even mitameh mishum bo'el. That was a machloket we saw in our Mishnah, here again in the Braita. And then we have this opinion which we haven't seen before, is Rabbi Yehuda ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai omer, bala nichnas le'echal u'maktir ktoret. Not only is he not tameh, but he can go in and do avoda in the Mikdash without any problem. So the Braita is a question, we said meitevei. Braita is a problem, obviously, for Rav Ashi. Because the Braita here clearly makes the different stages play out like this. It has the otiyom, which isn't really mentioned. Then it asks, what is acharze? What's after otiyom, after immediately? And it gives up till the point in time where she is tadiach benecha, right? Until the point in time where she descends from the bed and cleans herself, that's considered to be toch zman. Once she does the amount of time that it takes her to get off the bed and to clean herself, that's considered to be after that time, the third period of time. That would accord with Rav Chista, who says that the Braita was describing the third period of time, not the second period of time. And that's what the Gemara says now. Bishlama, this goes well, or this Braita fits well according to Rav Chista. Hanu demitari rabbonon, that's why the Rabbanon mitire, because this stage, when you get off the bed and clean yourself, that's considered to be the third stage. Rashi, amai mitari rabbonon. According to Rashi, it's the second stage. Why the Rabbanim entire? It should be at least the Sufek Tuma. The Chit Ema, Dein Eid B'yada. Maybe the difference here is between whether she has the cloth in her hand or doesn't have the cloth in her hand. So, Ha'eid B'dami, Ein B'dami B'alei. Then he should have said it. It should have made that clear in Kashin. Now Rashi says that such a distinction, he says, Imkeni B'alei the Mitne, right, there should be explicit the difference between whether she has the cloth in her hand or not the cloth in her hand, because she says, Afik Mine Khurva. If you don't describe that, if you don't make that clear, you could end up with a huge problem because there is a difference in the timing according to you, Rav Ashi. And therefore the Brayta should have been clear here about that fact. The fact that the Brayta doesn't even address it means that the Brayta doesn't think that or is not concerned with that. Remember that Rav Ashi distinguished between the bright and the Mishnah having to do with whether she had the aid in her hand or didn't have the aid in her hand. By the case of grabbing it from under her pillow and then checking it, he said she did not have the aid in her hand. Whereas when she descended from the bed and then checked herself, there she had the aid in her hand. And that's how he said that the two are really the same amount of time. It's a question of what caused the delay. The delay was caused by getting the aid, which is when it's under the pillow, or is the delay caused by descending from the bed? But over here, we see a braita that makes no such distinction about whether it's in her hand, not in her hand. And it just says if she disembarks from the bed and then cleans herself, that's already in the third stage of time. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot says that he thinks that it's a first avli pushe b'braita. B'nei b'yada, kem de batitin ari b'yeshe b'yada. That the braita should have been explicit, not within the braita itself, like Rashi says you should have distinguished between eid b'yada and eid b'yada. But the braita itself should have just mentioned that she has the eid in her hand, as opposed to our Mishnah, which doesn't mention it. Because our Mishnah is talking about a case where she does have an aid in her hand, whereas the Braita here is indicating that it's when she doesn't have an aid in her hand, because our Mishnah, according to Rav Ashi, is talking about the second stage. Whereas the Braita over here, you would have to suggest, is talking about the third stage. How could he distinguish between them? He could distinguish between them by saying that there was a cloth in her hand. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where she has the cloth in the hand. That's why it's the second stage. Whereas the Braita here is talking about a case where she doesn't have a cloth in her hand, and that would be a third stage. Either way, we should have had some clarity on this issue. In fact, there is no clarity on this issue means that it sounds like Rav Chisda and not like Rav Ashi. And that's why, despite the fact that Rav Chisda's reading in our Mishnah is very difficult, nevertheless, he goes in that direction because this Braita really supports that reading of the Braita and the Mishnah to indicate that there's a second stage and a third stage, and that these two descriptions here are not the same description. Do that, then why were the Chachamim Metaher here? Even if you think the Braita is arguing on the Mishnah, that means that the Braita is bringing a case where it thinks it's third stage. It's clear here that the Braita is talking about a third stage, and it's saying that the Chachamim Metaher, and you're talking, according to Rav Ashi, it's talking about second stage. It's talking about second stage, the Chachamim are not Metaher, which is what the difficulty is. Everybody agrees it's a Suffolk, at least, in the second stage. So, Rav Yehuda b'no, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Omer, so this is where we bumped into our, in the Braita, third opinion, the third Tana, who says that the Baal is Torah Gamre. So it says, Bala nechazel maktir k'toret, v'timgalei d'avi nogea, b'me'et le'et, shebedin dan. Why don't you just say, at least, that he came into contact, he touched Anida, who, midrabanan, we say is, t'me'ah, me'et le'et, for 24 hours retroactively. So at least there's a safek that he came into contact with Anida. How can he say that she's Torah Gamre, or he's Torah Gamre? Zuhud amar k'shamay, he holds like, Shamay damar kol anishim, dayan shatan. Doesn't hold of this din of Me'et Le'et. He says, all women, we look at the Tumah heretofore, from here forward, we do not have this Tumah retroactively midrabanan. If you don't have Tumah retroactively midrabanan, then you're not going to have a nogeya betumah Me'et Le'et. Typically, Davi Balkeri. What about that? Fact is that he's also a Balkeri, which would make him into Tamei Tumat Erev. So just from that factor, he should not be allowed into the Mikdash next day because he's a Balkeri. When it says, B'shalo gamar bi'ato, or he didn't finish his bi'ah. Even though, over here we said before, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's tamei tumat bo'el nida. That's because bo'el nida does not require gamar bi'ah. All it requires is he'ara. That's the terminology that's used by nida. Et mikor damea he'ara. So he'ara just means that he has to penetrate her, that the Gemara has a machloket about what exactly that means. But it doesn't mean gemar biya. We don't require a gemar biya in order to be chayav for bo'el nida or to be tamei tuma for bo'el nida. So therefore, he has his opinion here, this Tano, Rabbi Yehuda b'no Shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He holds like Shammai that it's dayan shatan, number one. Number two is, in this case, he was not gomer biya. By not being gomer biya, you put those two together, he can go into the Mikdash the next morning and do avodah. And the Mishnah continues, Modim Chachamim L'Akiva Boreh Ketem. Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Akiva, when you see a Ketem, that there's a din of Tumal. Amarav L'Mafreya V'Rabbi Meirhi. When the Chachamim say they agree with Rabbi Akiva, when you see a Ketem, that is retroactively. They believe, like Rabbi Meir, we saw earlier in our Masechta, that Rabbi Meir believes that when it comes to Ketem, Ketem has full force Tumah, and the Tumah L'Mafreya is a Tumah that will affect the husband. Whereas, Shmuel Amar, Mikanu L'Abba, V'Rabbonanhi. Then from the Ketem, it's not a din of retroactively that we say that the husband is Tameh like a Boel Nida, but rather we say, going forward, prospectively, we will say that he is Tameh. If he is Boel, this woman, after she has a Ketem, then we'll have a din of Boel Nida. Machloket here, when we say the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Akiva when it comes to a Ketem, what does that mean? Does that mean that by a Ketem, they agree that it's retroactive, and there's a problem of Boel Nida retroactively, like Rabbi Meir in the first parak? Or is it like the Chachamim, who say that a Ketem is only prospectively problematic in terms of Boel Nida? The Tumah L'Mafreya is a din in Tarot. It's a Safek Tumah that we're Tole. Tarot, retroactively, that's Machloket Rav and Shmuel, how to read that Modeh Chachamim L'Akiva. So Gemara says, Mikan L'Abab Shita. What's the question? Of course, Mikan Labat, you see a Ketem, that she's Tamei, Tumat Nida, and he'll be classified as a Boel Nida. So, Ma'u, the Temeho, Me'et Le'et Derabanan, Uktamim Derabanan. We know that retroactive Tumat is a Din Derabanan, as well as Ketamim. Mina Torah, in order to be Tmeya, she has to have a Hargosha, and have a sighting. Over here, you're finding a stain. But that's a Din Derabanan. Ma'et Le'et Lo Metamed Bola, we know that according to the Chachamim, when it comes to Me'et Le'et, it's not mitameh bo'ala. Af ktamim lo mitameh bo'ala. Let's say that ktamim that are a din derabonon, that they also will not be mitameh bo'ala, that he won't have a din of bo'el nida. So where it says, k'mash v'lon, that that's not the case. Means that if he had bi'ah with her in the last 24 hours, and then after that 24 hours she has a sighting, we're going to say that she's tmeya l'mafreya 24 hours, but he will not be classified as a bo'el nida in that case. Whereas by ktamim, over here, the Ketem, obviously the Ketem L'Mafreya is not relevant, except according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that Ketamim have a din L'Mafreya even for 24 hours, but according to Chachamim, where Ketamim are only prospective Tumah, so over there, we will say if he's Bo'el, the woman, after she has a Ketem, he will be classified as a Bo'el Nidan. The Gemara says, well, Ve'im Ochanami, why are you differentiating? If they're both Dinei D'Rabbanon, why are we saying that one of them is classified as a Bo'el Nida, the Ketem? And the Mafreya, the Me'et Le'et, is not classified as a Bo'el Nida. Why not? So the answer is simple, which is, Hotam ein shor shechut lefenecha. Ocha yesh shor shechut lefenecha. It's the evidence. In the case of the Mafreya, we're just suspicious that if she saw now, that she really saw within the last 24 hours. So we have a suspicion that she might have seen earlier. We don't know for certain that she's seen anything. On the other hand, when you're talking about a Ketem, you have circumstantial evidence that she's already a Nida. You have evidence that she's a Nida. To say that prospectively she's not a Nida, that's a very difficult statement. So one of them is just speculation. The other one is that we have evidence that indicates that she is a Nida. And therefore the din will be different. By Me'et Le'et, the Mafreya will not be classified as Boel Nida. Because that's just speculation that maybe it came earlier. Over here, which has the Ketem, the Rabbanan are done her as if now she is a Nida, and therefore you'll be classified as a Boel Nida. So now you have the same machlok we had between Rav and Shmuel, is between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish matches up with Rav, which is that Rav says it's Mafreya, and according to Rabbi Meir, so Mafreya Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mikanu Laba, Virabononhi. That the Modeh Chachamim Rabbi Akiva is only prospectively, he's classified as a Bo'el Nida, whereas Reish Lakish says that the Chachamim here we're talking about is in the Shita to Rabbi Meir, that means even the Mafreya, even retroactively, 8-8 with the Ketem, classified as a Bo'el Nida. Which is interesting again is that Reish Lakish now matches up with Rav, and Rabbi Yochanan matches up with Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, when it comes to Isurei, Alocha Ki Rav. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Alocha Ki Rabbi Yochanan. So you have a Stira in the Klalei Apsak, and you can see here that we pass in like Shmuel here, because Rabbi Yochanan is that position. Rabbi Yochanan would override here. But it's interesting, again, it's the second time we've had a Machloket, Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are also arguing in the same Machloket. And we have Rabbi Yochanan matching up with Shmuel, and Reish Lakish matching up with Rav. Okay, Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we quoted earlier, which is, Kol HaNashim B'Chezkat Tara lebalehin. All women have a status of tara for their husbands. Habayim min aderech nesheim lehen bechazkat tara. Someone who comes from a trip and returns home, they can assume their wife is tora. Lamalei lemitnei habayim min aderech. Why do you have to add in habayim min aderech? If all women are bechazkat tara lebalehim, what's the difference about habayim min aderech? So when it says, akudat chamina, I would have thought, then when he's in the city, the Ramya Nafsho Badka, because then the woman is going to take care to check, because she knows there's a possibility that her husband's going to come home, and therefore she's on top of the situation. She says her husband's out of town, she's not going to focus on it, and she's going to let things go. So Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. That we say, even though he's Ba'a Min HaDerech, we assume that the woman's on top of the situation, and you don't have to worry about the fact that she is Tmeah. So Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Nesiyah, V'hu, Sheba U'matza B'toch Yimei Onota. Here's a qualification of that statement, which is, that depends how long the husband went away from. It's as long as he returns within 30 days of her last sighting. He has to be within the period of time that she would be classified as Teora. Since most Nashim say over their duration of their interval, over 30 days, then he can assume if he left and returns within those 30-day period, that he's fine to be with his wife because she's yet to be a Nida.
When you say 30 days, the Rashi says
it. Say, Stamona is 30 days.
He comes back after 30 days.
Within 30 days of his wife's last sighting. First 7 days of those 30 days, she was Tmeah. He left on the 9th day after she sighted. And he came back on the 20th day after she saw. Then she's still Torah. Sam Rav Huna, lo shno ela she'en la beset. That's only true if she doesn't have a fixed cycle. Ava yesh lo la beset asur l'shamesh. If she has a fixed cycle, then he can't be m'shameshah. It says, Kafei Laya. We say, just, what does that make sense? It's just the opposite. Makes no sense. Adorabo. Ipcho mistabro. The other way is logical. Ein laveset ema chazai. If she doesn't have a fixed cycle, we'll say maybe she did see it and we don't know when she saw it. There's no way to know to measure when she's going to see it. Yesh laveset. Veset fielda. If she does have a veset, then we assume she has it orech bizmano ba, that she'll come at the time and he knows when that veset is. Ela itmar, hochi itmar. This is the way to say it. Amravuna, lo shana, ela shalo higia shat vesta. It's only true if it hasn't reached the point where she should have had a sighting, like you were asking, David. Aval higia shat vesta, asura. If it comes to the time period where she does reach her veset, then she is asura. Because, kasavar, vestot deoraita. The vestot, the fixed cycle, is min ha-Torah. Min ha-Torah here is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's obviously not written in the Torah. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that a woman who has a fixed cycle must check when the fixed cycle comes. If she doesn't check, she's assumed to be tmeah. Min ha-Torah. Because what do we have? We have a safek here of doraita. Safek doraita, where she's supposed to check and the vesed is min doraita. Safek doraita is the chumrah. You could explain that in one of two ways. You could say that it's a suffix doraita, and therefore we go to chumrah. Or you can say the fact that you don't check makes it into a vadai. Meaning that the Torah makes it into a vadai in this instance. Tosa says something along those lines. The way Tosa expresses it is, the mandamar vesto doraita, afilu shatak shiuz matvila surat vadai rata chashvinale. We consider it as if she definitely saw it. So there are two ways you could look at this, Vesto Doraita. You could look at it as still a suffix, but a suffix Doraita, and never go to Chumra. Or, you could say that the Torah is Magdirit, as if it's a Vadei Riya. Even though we don't know, but it's Magdirit as a Vadei Riya, and it's classified as a Vadei Riya. So that's according to the one who says that, Vesto Doraita. Rabba Bar Chano Amar, Afil Yigeya Shat Vesta, Nami Muteret. Even if she reaches her Veset, she's Muteret. Why? Because of her Vesto Dorabanan. The need to check when you have your Veset is only a din derabanan, and therefore we're dealing with a safek derabanan. A safek derabanan will go the kula. Now Tosfot points out two things here, which are important. Number one is, Rav Huna, we didn't have to change his statement. Rav Huna's statement is true. It happens to be true whether she has a veset or whether she doesn't have a veset. She doesn't have to check. We just saw that before. We saw that in the Gemara, that there was no distinction between a woman who had a veset and didn't have a veset. There was no need to check for Baalah. The only reason to check was for Taharot. But for Baalah, she didn't have to give a check. So in Ochanami, Ravuna's statement is true. That a woman doesn't have a veset, doesn't have to check. Just like a woman who has a veset. The reason that the Gemara changed Lashon was to fit into the statement of Ravuna. They wanted to make it fit, because Ravuna distinguished between the two of them. And therefore the Gemara wants to read something into Ravuna that distinguishes between the two, even though the statement of Rav Yehuna happens to be true. And that was what I mentioned before, which is that this happens to be a machloket rishonim. Machloket rishonim as to whether a woman without a veset requires bedika. According to most of the rishonim, she does not require bedika, and that's what our Gemara said. We learned that already in the Gemara. On the other hand, the Rambam says that a woman with a veset does not require bedika labala, but a woman without a veset does require a bedika labala. And there are some other rishonim and some of the achronim trying to explain the Rambam shita, which again is negative our Gemara before, although does match up or does work with this Gemara, because here the Gemara rejects this idea that a woman without a veset does not need a bedika. That's number one thing. Second thing Tosfot asks, which is very obvious, is Rabbi Barbachana's position makes no sense. How could it be that a woman who has a fixed cycle, even if you believe Vesta or Midrabanan, she gets to the point of the fifth cycle and the husband comes home and he's allowed to be with her? What type of crazy situation is that? You know you're expecting her to be a Nida. Why should he allow her to be with her? We have later on in the Masechta that the husbands have to separate from the wives. Samuch le'ona. Karov le'ona. You have to separate from your wives. That's what Bnei Yisrael or Kedoshim do. They don't take any risk. Over here, not only is he not close, he's past that time, and he's saying, oh, it's a suffix, go ahead. That makes no sense. So Tosfot basically grabs from the Gemara later on today, but it says that the case when he came after a veset is after 7 days. Not only did he come after a veset, he came 7 days after he should have seen her veset. So then the assumption would be that she went to the mikveh, and that's the question here. Can the mikveh, or the assumption of her going to the mikveh, be enough to mulutzi from the din of vestot? So if you think vestot or d'oraita, vestot or minatorah, then we're going to either say suffek l'chumra, or it's classified like a vadai that she's tmeya, and the suffek of her going to the mikveh will not be motzi midei vadai. On the other hand, if you think vestot or d'rabanan, the suffek of going to the mikveh can be motzi from the suffek of whether she saw or not. So again, it's not right at her vesta that he came. He came after her chance to go to the mikveh, and the question is, what do we assume here? And that will depend on whether you think vesta dar d'oraita or vesta dar d'rabbanan. Ravashi mani hochi. Ravashi had Ravuna's statement suggesting this. I'm Ravuna. Lo shanu elo shein la veset liyamim. That's only when she doesn't have a veset for days. Elo yesh la veset liyamim ulik fitzot. In case where she has a cycle where she only sees after a certain interval and after she jumps. It's both a physical action and a number of days before she sees. Kevin de bemaset talya milta imelo kofitz velo chazai. Since there's a requirement that she jump before she sees, could assume that she didn't jump. Aval yesh la veset liyamim. If she only has a cycle for days, then asur l'shamesh, kazavar vesta d'oraita, because he holds that vesta is d'oraita, and then again, once again, Rabbi Barchan amar, fila yeshlo vesta d'yamim, even if she has a cycle of days, muteret, kazavar vesta d'rabanan. So it's a slightly different variation of Rav Huna's statement, but the same machloket, which is that Rav Huna and Rabbi Barchan are arguing about whether vesta are d'oraita or d'rabanan, and therefore, what are the implications of that? In the first case, it was just about whether you have a suffix, where you pass that veset, what's the din? And over here, in the case that Rav Ashi has it, he has it where there's both yamim and kvitzot. In the case of yamim and kvitzot, even Rav Huna will agree that there you have a suffix. Whereas when it comes to just yamim, you'll have the machloka that we saw before, which is whether vestot d'oraita or vestot d'rabanan. So now Gemara says, Amar Shmuel Mishmei d'Rabbi Yochanan, Isha sheyesh la veset, bala mechashev yamei vesta u'baleha. The husband can calculate what the assumed cycle will be, when she should go to the mikveh, and based on that, he can come and be together with her. He can make the assumption that she had her cycle normally, she went to the mikveh normally, and now he's allowed to be with her. Samalei Rav Shmuel bar Yeva the Rebbe Ava, Amar Rav Yochanan, Afilu Yalda, or Yilada, Dibziza Lemitvah. So here's a question, machloket, between Rashi and Tosafot, how to read this. Rashi says that we're talking about a young girl. Talking about a young girl who doesn't necessarily like going to the mikveh. Ziza over here means bosha. She's embarrassed to go to the mikveh until her husband encourages her to go to the mikveh. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say this even about a young girl who doesn't like going to the mikveh, is embarrassed to go to the mikveh, and she'll only go after her husband convinces her to go to the mikveh. Is that true? Rabbi Yochanan's statement is going to be true there? That's one possible way to read it. Tosafot brings an alternative reading of it, which is the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Chanan will explain from the word holid, she gave birth. A woman who gave birth, do we assume that she's going to go to the mikveh? Meaning within the first 30 days, do we assume that she's gone to the mikveh? Because she's sick. She's considered to be a chola. She has that classification for fast days and for other things. And therefore, she's afraid to go to the mikveh within the first 30 days because of the danger involved. So do you still assume that a woman who gave birth is going to go to the mikveh within the first 30 days? So over here you have cycle that went by, or some reason to believe she has dam tmeah. And then we have a safek whether she went to the mikveh. And he's presenting him with this safekot where it's likely that the woman doesn't want to go to the mikveh. So how does that happen? So Amalei, atu vadei rata, mi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Where Rabbi Yochanan's not got a case where we know for sure she had a sighting. Ima dam Rabbi Yochanan safek rata, safek lo rata. We don't know if she saw, we don't know if she didn't see. Veim tim saloma rata, if she did see, Ematavla, let's assume she went to the mikveh. Aval vaydai rata, have we know for sure that she did have a sighting? Mi emar de tavla, who says that she went to the mikveh? Avalei safek vavadai. Because then you have a safek, whether she went to the mikveh. A vadai that she saw. Ein safek motzi midei vadai. And a safek cannot remove a vadai. Rabbi Abba says that the statement of Rav Shmuel, Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, over here, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda questions whether that his statement is true, and the response of Rehavam is that it is true, but the circumstances you misunderstood. It's only a bit of fake. The husband can do this calculation when he's not sure that his wife had a sighting. Then he can assume, because there's a safek about whether she did have a sighting, safek if she did go to the mikveh, you put those two together, you have safek mutzei midei safek, and that's not a problem. But if you have a case where he knows for certain she had a sighting, and then we have a safek whether we went to the mikveh, that's not going to hold up. Because there she is badai, she's machzikinan l'tuma'ah. She knows for sure she's tuma'ah. And a safek if she went to the mikveh. In that case, we're not going to say safek mutzei midei badai. So that's a qualification of that statement of Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a case, for instance, the husband went away. He left. And during that period that he left, she should have had her cycle. But he's already past that time period and he's now past the time she could have gone to the mikveh. So again, quote unquote, safek that she saw, safek whether she went to the mikveh. It's obvious that Rabbi Yochanan holds that we're talking about here. Right, Vestot Rabbanan. Because that's what we said before in the Tosafot, that you only considered Vestot Rabbanan, that's considered a safek sighting. If you think Vestot Doraita, it's either a safek Doraita L'chomer, or it's considered classified like a Vadai Riya. So that's what Tosafot said before, that Rabbi Yochanan believes for sure that Vestot are Rabbanan, because otherwise you wouldn't have a Safek Mutzimi De Safek, you'd have Safek Mutzimi Vadai, even if he doesn't know whether she saw, because Vestot are right to make it as if it is a Vadai sighting.
Knew that she still had her days with
the right, so the Gemara talked about this before, but she's sleeping. This is a case.
The only case that doesn't matter.
Right, if he could ask her, then it's not a bad idea to ask her. But here's a question where he doesn't ask her, if she's not so awake, yeah, partially awake, partially asleep. That's the scenario, so you have to say. Otherwise, it's easier to just ask the question. Alright, so now here we have, then the Gemara says, Ve'ein safek motzei midei vadai. Is that really a principle? That a safek cannot undermine a vadai? Velo, vatanyo. So sugya that comes out every time the Gemara deals with this. Sugya in psachim taftet, sugya in beitza, sugya in a number of places, the Gemara brings this down. Chaver shemet, v'niach migura malaya peirot. A chaver passes away, and he leaves a basket full of peirot. Afilu hein b'nei yoman, they were picked that day. Hari hein b'chezkat metukanim, we can assume that he took off shumot and masrot for them. V'ocha vaday tevel, we know for sure they're tevel, because they're picked, they have gemar malocha, and so they're vaday tevel. Safek me'usar, safek ein musar. We're uncertain as to whether he took off shumot and masrot. Vikati safek, and that safek comes as motzimi de vadai tevel. So Gemara gives two answers, and every time they bring the sugi up, either hatam vadai vivadaiu, that it is a vadai motzimi de vadai, kid Rav Chanina choza. Like Rav Chanina choza, dam Rav Chanina choza, chazoko chaver, shein motzimi taki yadovar shein metukan. Chaver has a chazoko that makes it a vadai, that he is metakein all of his payroll, which is that a chazoko, that a chaver doesn't allow anything to leave his sight, his hands, without it being metukan. Again, this is very interesting, because over here we're talking about a person who's on his deathbed. He's about to die, and we're still saying there's a chazakah that he ensures that any fruits that he has there, or that were tevel, are mitukan. It's a very interesting type of chazakah that you have here.
If the nearest it's in his storehouse.
You have to make some sort of distinction along those lines, which is that anything that's obvious that he couldn't have gotten in contact with, it's still out in the field, something like that, that it's still classified as tevel because you can't apply the chazakah to it. But if it's in the migura, it's already brought into the storehouse, or it's somewhere where you could assume that there was some transition that went on, that he would ensure that in that transition it was meusar. That's one answer. V'ibaitema safek v'safeku. They're both sfeikot kidraboshia. Tamar Rabbi Yoshia, marim adam al tuato, machnisa b'mot shela, kedei she'ei b'emto ochelet b'tura min ha-maser. So there is this way to get around being chayav in Shumot HaMasrot, in a way to make it that Tevel does not become chayav in Shumot HaMasrot. That is, there are two requirements in terms of making something into Tevel that is chayav in Shumot HaMasrot. One is, you need Gemar Melacha. That's to reach the point in the processing of the item where you reach Gemar Melacha, Miruach HaKri, the Gemar Melacha for those items. And if you're going to use them in the house, or bring them to the house, it has to have riyat pnei abayit. It has to come in through the front door of the house. Those are the two requirements to make something chayiv in Shumot HaMasrot. Number one, that there was a Gemar Melach already. And number two is that it came through the front door of the house. Rav Oshia says there are two ways around that. The two ways around that are either if you bring it through the front door of the house before there's Gemar Melach, or after Gemar Melach, you don't bring it through the front door. You bring it through the window, the skylight, whatever you do, you don't bring it in through the front door. Either way, that tvuah will no longer be chayav, or those peirot will no longer be chayav in Shumot HaMasrot, because of the way that you did them. Now, over here, Rav Oshia says you do this in order that the behemah can eat it, and it's peturah min ha-maser. So why is it only the behemah can eat it? Why can't an individual eat it? That's because even out in the sadeh, even in the field, where there is no tevel midoraita, tevel midoraita only happens once you get past Gemar Melacha. Nevertheless, achilat arai is mutar, achilat keva is asur midrabanan. Midrabanan, you can only have a snack, you cannot have a fixed meal of these items of tevel. Therefore, a behema, the eating of a behema, is always classified as achilat arai. Even the achilat keva of a behema is classified as achilat arai. Therefore, when you bring it into the house, under these conditions where you're not going to be chayav in Shumot HaMasrot midoraita, you still have the din d'rabbanan on you, which is that you cannot have achilat keva. So therefore, for an adam, there's no way that you can't eat from this, because it'll be classified as achilat keva. But a behema, where achilat keva does not apply, it's always achilat arai, therefore you can feed the behema when you bring it into the house. So that's a suggestion over here that Rav Oshia says that you don't have to be chayav. It's not vaday chayav in tevel. It could be that it's not chayav in Shumot HaMasrot because he did it through one of these methodologies. And therefore, it's a safek mutzi midei safek. Safek musar, safek enu musar, but it was safek tevel to start with. And safek is mutzi midei safek. Again, this is a very interesting story. We're talking about a chaver. So we're talking about a chaver here, and he's doing like Rav Oshia, which is this trick to get out of being chayav in Shumot HaMasrot. Again, it's interesting that the Gemara sets up such a case with a chaver. The Tosfot asks over here, or points out over here, that we see that these are tevel midrabanan, right? They're vaday tevel midrabanan. And we're saying here that a safek is mutzi mi vaday tevel derabanan. So he says that that might be the case, that when it comes to a safek, it cannot be mutzi midei a vaday doraita. But a safek could be motzi midei vaday derabanan. And the evidence of that is here, which is here you have, it's devil midrabanan, and yet the safek still works. In the end, the Reeve tries to get out of it and says, maybe here, that when we say it's cheskat metukanim, it's only for behemot. It has a din of cheskat metukanim for behemot, as with animal feed and things for animals. But for humans or human food, it would not have a chazaka because you still have the problem of vaday tevel mid derabanan. And with vaday tevel derabanan, we're not going to say that a safek is motzi. But you do come up with that interesting possibility that Tosfot says that you might be able to have a safek be motzi midei vaday rabanan, but not midei vaday deoraita. Right? The Tosfot also has over here, since when is tevel asur bana? Feeding your animal is an isur hana. Since when is tevel asur bana? Tevel's asur be achila. Tevel d'oraita even. Who said that it's asur be'ana'? It's asur be'achila. So Tosfot comes up with this situation or explanation that it is asur be'ana'a when it's kliya. That tevel is asur be'ana'a when it is in a manner that is consumed. And that is because tevel tmeya or shumat tmeya is burnt. And you can get ana'a from that burning. But that's a kliya. And therefore we compare the truma tmeya to truma torah. And just like my truma tmeya, you can only do that once it's mufresh from the tevel. Meaning that you have to take it away from the tevel. Tevel tmeya, you cannot get benefit from of kliya until you mafresh the truma out of it. So to over here, by truma torah, we're going to say the same thing. That even though it's tevel, you cannot get hanoah from it until you mafresh the truma of its hanoah shel kliya. I know that eliminates it or is eaten or burnt. And over here, the animal eating, it's going to be consumed. It's not coming back. So that type of an shel kliya, you do require a hafrasha chuma from it, and you can't get that type of anoa from the tevel. Gemara says, "Vakate ain't safek motzi midei vadai." Is that really true? That it's safek not motzi midei. Atanya, we have a Brita's case brought in Pesachim as well. Maseh b'shivchato shemesik echad berimon. It's a case of a maidservant of a servant. Mesikir is Mesik Zaitim. He was a olive picker. Berimon. He lived in Rimon, but he was an olive picker. Sheitila Nefel Labor. This Shivcha Knanit had a miscarriage into a pit. Ubakoin, and a coin came, Beitzitzbo, and he looked in to see, to give some sort of determination about it. Leidain Zacharim Nikeva. To see if it was a male or a female, to know either what korban she has to bring or how long she'll be Tmeya. Rashi here brings a number of scenarios of what Kohen this was. And he was a Kohen Chacham. He wanted to know when she had to bring the Korban, if it was going to be during his Mishmar, or he wants to know how long she's going to be Tmeya. That is the first explanation Rashi brings down. And Rashi says, I don't understand any of these explanations. Tosafot seconds that and says that over here we're talking about a Kohen Shoteh or a Kohen Amaretz. This Kohen doesn't know what he's doing because he's getting himself Tamei. And why would we get himself Tamei? There's an Isser to come Tamei for a Kohen. To find out or help this woman out with what the story is with her makes no sense. I think Tosfot points out is that you see from here that there is Tumah by a Shivcha. Kenanit, who is working with the Kohen, has a din of Tumah because her Leida over here causes Tumah. So now, Ibra Masel Fini Chachamim Taru, a case came before the Chachamim and they were entire this Kohen. Because you have weasels and other rodents that are common there, and therefore they're going to drag it away. So in all likelihood, when he went to look over it, it wasn't there anymore. We know for sure that she had a miscarriage. And safek garu, safek lo garu, we're not sure yet whether those rodents came and took it away. And the Chachamim say he's tahor. Mar says, lo tema hitila nefel lebor. No. She didn't have a miscarriage of a nefel, which is something that would cause her to be tmeah. Ela'ema kemin nefel. It was something that looked like a miscarriage, a nefel here being something that has a human form to it that would cause her to have to sit yimei tumah. It would have a classification of a leida. Not that she actually gave birth, but rather like a nefel. Therefore, ba'aleida im zachar nekevak tani. Doesn't the bright to say that he went to check if it was a male or female? Well, male and female is only relevant if it's a nefel, not like if it's a, like a nefel. He wanted to check if this was a miscarriage or a qualified birth that would make her tmeah, or it was something else. It was an unformed fetus to the point where she would not be tmeah, was not classified as a leida. Even if she would miscarry a nefel, leida in zacharim nikeva. So it's a two-staged process here. So therefore now we're back to having being a safek misafek. It's a fake of this tumah here, because maybe it wasn't even an afel. If it wasn't an afel, then there's no tumah. So you have a safek of tumah, a safek of tara, and you have a safek whether the bardalis and the chuda took it away already. So therefore, you have a safek mutzimi, they safek, and then they were metayer the kohen.
Could look into the hole and didn't see it there, which, and really it's a great safek whether it's there now.
Right. So whereas it also talks about if they pulled, even they pulled it under him, if he crossed over, he was mile on it. So there are a lot of reasons to believe that he, even if he didn't see it there, that he could still be Tameh. That when rodents are there, the underlying assumption is that they took it. It's not a safek, it's a vadai, so it's vadai motzi midei vadai. Back to the case where she definitely had a nefel that was Tmeah, but it's also a vadai that the rodents got rid of it, And when he looked over there and he didn't see anything, that meant that it was really gone. They took it away a long time ago, and therefore he is not Tamei in this case. So then the Gemara asks from two positions, again, Safek Motzimi Da Vadai. In both cases it gives an answer. It's either Safek Motzimi Da Safek or Vadai Motzimi Da Vadai. They read the cases to be that way. And also in our case, the statement of Rav Shmuel Shmei Rabbi Yochanan is a case of a Safek Motzimi Da Safek. Rabbi Yochanan will not make a statement. We're talking about a Safek Motzimi Da Vadai. So if you know for certain this woman is in Nida, then the Safek of her going to the mikveh will not be Motzimi Midei the Vadai. And again, if it's Vestal Doraita, which is classified like a Vadai, then again, the Safek of going to the mikveh will not help you out. Like Tosfot said on the previous Amud. I'll stop over here.